Campus FM presents a talk in the Work in Progress seminar series entitled Challenges and Development of Higher Education in Poland.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, radio audience, since, as always, we're being recorded. And this will go up as a podcast eventually. It's a great pleasure to welcome you to another session in the Work in Progress seminar series, which has been going on for a number of years now. Today we have a special session on a topic which should be of great interest to us since it deals with higher education, and we all know about the changes which are taking place in higher ed. Tell me about it. But anyway, we welcome Professor Czesław Kosielniak from the Adam Mickiewicz University Poznan in Poland, who is a specialist in higher education policy, culture in higher education, and the involvement of universities in regional development. And he'll be speaking to us about the challenges and development of higher education in Poland, which, like Malta, is a recently accessed country as far as the European Union is concerned. Says. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Majo, thank you for invitation. I hope that you will see this presentation because we have some problem with projectors, so I hope that all will be okay. Yes, subject of my presentation is the challenges and development of higher education in Poland. And I'd like to start present myself in a few words. I'm philosopher and social sciences. I work in the position of professor assistant with PhD at Adam Mickiewicz University and as a lecturer in Collegium Civitas in Warsaw. My working experience out of academy is I was a counselor of Minister of Science and Higher Education of the Republic of Poland. I'm also a columnist of a newspaper Gazeta Wyborcza and Znak Monthly in Poland. Yes, now I'm leading a project which is titled Freedom Equality University, and one of the outcomes of this project will be that the book in the same title, and in this book we will host also a text of Professor Peter Majo. This book will be presents the current changes of higher education in European higher education area. So the changes is very important, so I think that the book will be also discussed in other countries, not only in the Poland. My email is ceskos@amu.edu.pl, so do not hesitate to contact with me. Okay, the plan of my presentation. I'd like to show you 5 points. First, I'd like to give you some general description of Wielkopolska region and capital of Poland, or capital of Wielkopolska. The capital of Wielkopolska is Poznań, of course, yes. And I'd like to shortly sketch you the area of higher education in my city. In next point, I'd like to present you Polish university, some types and numbers. In next point will be about financial expenditure on Polish education, on Polish higher education area. Next point will be about enrollment, and the last but not least will be about developing of internationalization of our higher education policy. Okay, what's about Poznań and our universities? I skip the slide, I move on next. Poznań, it is the third large city of Poland after Warsaw and Krakow. It is a capital of Wielkopolska region. And in Poznań, with agglomeration, live circa 1 million inhabitants. One of the most important industries in Poznań is car industry. We have Volkswagen and Skoda industry. Poznań is also the center of Polish nanotechnology science. So we have at the university a biomedical nanotechnology center, one of the most development center in East Europe. Poznań is also a center of culture. We have by far the largest contemporary art collection in Central Europe, in Art Station Foundation Gallery, It's also very good national art gallery, few theaters, concert halls. So the Poznan is a capital of culture of west side of Poland. In next year, Poznan will be a host city, one of the host city of Euro 2012 Poland-Ukraine. So the city authorities built a comfortable and high-developed football stadium, and I don't know, but it will be circa two events in the stadium. Near Poznan is located national park and green areas with unique forests, unique lakes. So this is also some opportunities to making jogging, making sports, leisure. So this is a very general description of the city. What about the universities in Poznan? In Poznan are located seven public universities. First is the main university, Adam Mickiewicz University, or another name, Poznan University. Next is Poznan University of Technology, Polytechnic of University. Next is University of Economics, Medical University, Agrarian Technology University, and two separate universities, Academy of Fine Arts and Academy of Music. Now, Academy of Fine Arts, changed the name to University of Fine Arts. In Poznan is also located government think tank of Polish Foreign Affairs Office, the West Institute, and in this West Institute get research in the relations between Poland and Germany. Very important institution is Technology Park. This is incubate a relation between business and science. It was the large technology park in West Poland. It's also in University in Wrocław has also provide own technology park, but technology park in Poznan is larger. General in all universities in Poznan are studying more than 100,000 students in all stages of studies, in Bachelor of Art or Bachelor in of Science, Master of Art and PhD studies. Poznan University is a multi-campus public university and educational and research institution of higher education. The university is located in historical center of the city and also in new districts. This is the flagship campus of our city, so if you ask of the university is Poznan, the main university is Adam Mickiewicz University. Now I move on to the second point, Polish university in numbers. First, very general information, because I will return to these topics in next slides. The Polish expenditures on higher education between 2005-2010 was less than 1% of GDP. The last one was in 2005, it was 0.18% of GDP, so it's not so good business for government, we can say. Our universities are divided by the specialization. So we have separate medical universities, separate economics universities, separate agriculture universities. But in spite of this, Poland have also universities which get a general curricula and research in all disciplines. For example, Adam Mickiewicz University of Jagiellonia University, Jagiellonia University in Krakow, Jagiellonia University have also a medical school. So this is one exception. Medical school and university is in one institution. In 2010, definitely in 2010, we have achieved an implementation of the Bologna process. Now we have new adjective in Poland, Bolognization. Bolognization means that Bologna process is finished. But this process is to be criticized. I give you one example. The first step of academic career before Bolognization was assistance. And now this stage assistant is cancelled and replacement by PhD studies. So the former assistants are now students. In fact, these students have no pension insurance, no health insurance. Their privilege are worse than former. So this change was not good for these PhD students now. Another disadvantage of Bolognization is that the education process is divided. So, for example, in my university, we have different students in different level. If our students finished first level, it's not automatic that they will choose second level of studies. So it is a problem of enrollment. It is the problem of educational politics of the departments. So we have plenty of problems like that. What is important? Generally in Poland, in Poland are 448 universities and colleges, of which 130 are public and 318 private property. Generally, we have over 2 million students, and around 33% of all number of students are studying in private higher education institutions. What is important? About half of students, weekend students. So these people work 5 days and studying at the weekend. This is a very popular modus of studying. The program of study is delivered by state, so the diplomas is also delivered by state. University have very narrow autonomy to build their program. The program is delivered by Ministry of Science. The number of enrollment was rising in last 20 years because of new private higher education institutions, and now the enrollment rate in private and public higher education institutions is around 38% in 2006, and in 2008, this is the fresh data, it was 35%. I would like to very quickly compare two systems, Poland and Italy higher education system. And for example, in Italy, Italy has 77 universities, of which 58 are public and 19 are private. This is data from a European consortium research GUODEP, Good Practice in Higher Education, which was got of the grant of European Commission. And in Italy, it's around 1,075,100 students. In Poland, we have around 2 million students, but we have 48 universities. The program in Italy is delivered by universities. Our programs are delivered by state. Was the same? The same is that the Bolognization process. So both Italy and Poland have finished their Bolognization process. Overall, Polish higher education area is not strongly divided to research and teaching institutions. The main research institution is at Polish Academy of Science, but this institution in real is weak because very low level of finance. And general, our universities based on Humboldtian model, which focus on both tasks, research and teaching in one institutions. What is important, the important case is that the private higher education institutions, which pop up in recent 20 years, take much less attention to research, and this is typical teaching institutions. So they provide curricula and they focus mainly on teaching. Now, Polish Ministry of Higher Education established a new strategy of higher education. And the strategy concerns on first, increasing research area, second, increasing connections between business, regions, and market, and third, increasing internationalization process. I will return to this point in next to this point. I will return to this point in next slides. Now I'm moving on the next point, very important, financial expenditure on Polish higher education and research. This is the most important problem of our policy. low financial expenditure on Polish research. And general remark, after collapse of communism, Polish universities have been developing their economical status, of course, but we have not reached European average of financing. Some examples, expenditure of GDP on research and development in the area of higher education, because normally we have expenditure on research and development in business, and another expenditure is that the expenditure on higher on research and development only in higher education area. It was in Poland in 2007, it was 0.57%. In contrast, the same amount of spent on research and development in Italy was in the same year was 1.10%. In Germany, the highest, it was 2.38%. In UK, it was 1.78% respectively. General amount of 27 European Union countries was 1.74%. So now we have one of the last position of expenditure of GDP. In Poland, this amount has increased slightly. It was 0.54 in 2003, 0.56 in 2004, and between 2005 and 2007, this amount has not been changing. So it was 0.57. I know this is the problem with this projector because it is a numbers. So I know that it's another perception of the numbers when you can't see it. But I hope that you can imagine this ideas in your mind. Okay. Now I'd like to show you a very short some comparison from WEDEP research of the budgets of some universities from Europe and Poland. And for example, the Politecnico di Torino, in Politecnico di Torino are studying circa 27,000 students and staff is circa 1,700. And the budget in 2007 was circa 300 million euro. If we compare it to Poznan University of Technology, in Poznan University of Technology is circa 18,000 students and 2,000 staff, and the budget was 55 million euro. So it's very the difference is very eye-catching. For example, my university, Adam Mickiewicz University, has now more than 50,000 students and employ 5,800 staff, and the budget in 2007 was 123 million euro. If we compare it to University of Seville in Spain, in University of Seville is more than 68,000 students and 6,400 staff, and the budget was doubled. It was circa 400 million euros. So this damages for to be more attractive for Polish universities by this demanding don't follow financial expenditures. So this is one of the most important problem. I have good message. I have two message, good message and bad message. The good message is that during last crisis, the cuts of Polish universities was not huge. So the budgets of Polish universities was not cut like in England, for example. Professor John Bremen sent me a message that his department is cut, and he look new work. So it was very drastic reform in UK. We didn't meet the problem like that. But the bad message is that the expenditure on higher education in Poland has not been rising significant during last 20 years. So we can say that it was not cuts, but it was also not good reforms earlier. Poland stands to become a neoliberal model of higher education policy. Example Gracja, time contracts for faculties, staff evaluation in every 2 years, demanding of market orientation for social science. This is typical neoliberal trend. However, the salaries, expenditures and privilege remain unchangeable. In fact, we can stress this trend in one sentence. More work for less money and for more uncertainly work condition. In this model, the policymakers take less attention to social science and humanities. This is the first departments for cuts. And the question is that, will we move, we Polish universities, will we move to the neoliberal model? And unfortunately, the answer is yes. What's mean this tend to neoliberal model? First, marginalization of non-profit field of studies of research. Second, underpaying of art, humanities and social science department. Third, strategies with very special language like entrepreneurial, like market orientation university, like manager universities. So if you hear the sentence like that, you are sure that it is a neoliberal model of university. Humanities plays an important role in modernization process, not only in infrastructure, not only in economy, but also in culture. This is very good examples of Poland. In last 20 years after collapse of communism, modernization process means that, for example, creating democratic hour. Democratic hour is some process. Public scholarship of universities. Creating an intelligentsia class. This is also the process of modernization, not only economy. Professor Peter Mayo said in his text for my book, for book which will be published in Poland, that neoliberal reforms expect outcome, but take no attention to the process. So I think this is the point. This is important because humanities, social science, this is a long time process of understanding the world. This is a long time process of working with text. This is long time discussion with masters, etc., etc. So neoliberal doctrine is not compatible with this disciplines. What mean the social role of university? First, this is increasing of democratic values. Second, is identity of local community. For example, in important cities, universities defines the citizens. Yes, for example, in Krakow, this is a very strong identity between Jagiellonia University, between professors and citizens. What is important, very, very important persons in public life, like artists, like actors, politicians, they have a connection with their former universities. So the universities create some identities of city. Next, what's important? Social service. In Poland, we have third age university for all citizens. Now in Poznan started children university for infants. Professor Peter Mayo underlined this role of universities or European universities in his article. I quote, universities can engage in a manifold process of access is by reconvincing their role as not simply being there to boost the economy knowledge intensive or otherwise, but also contribute to a regeneration of democracy and the public sphere. So this is in Poland, this regeneration of democracy and public sphere is very, very important. This is very important task of university. In our Polish text, Professor Majo underlined the needs, the social needs of social sciences and humanities, which is very important in development of social process. So I think that neoliberal politicians don't understand what is the role of social science and humanities in building democratic awareness and also a democratic state. So if we want to live with a good public sphere, we have to keep this discipline. So this is very, very important. I would like to summarize this point, and I would like to present you some weak and some strong sides of Polish unis. A weak side is that the low salary PhD students have a 250 euro scholarship, assistant professor is less than it's circa 800 euro. We have not a euro, we have zloty. A professor, the salary of professor, full professor is 1,500 euros. So,
is that for what period of time?
A month. But it is really weak side. Of course, poor financial research resources. Next, main courses are in Polish. Only few universities give it in English. We have also some problems with academic ethics. For example, lack of good practice. What is the strong side of Polish universities? Dynamics, open-minded peoples, huge opportunities to find interesting students. For example, It's not a problem create a research group because the people looking for to be involvement in some research. Strong academic tradition and heritage. For people who come outside the Poland, advantages is that the small prices of food and hosting. And very good, it is a possibility of work in few places. For example, if you are a professor of Malta, you can be one semester in Poland and one semester in Malta. So it is possible in our level of higher education, and I think that it increases some mobility of professors. It's very good. And I would like to add, now we have well-working and friendly administration staff. So this is very important. I was in Russia, and I know that it's not work. What's mean when the administration staff didn't work well? So I think that this is a very good advantages of Polish higher education policy. Fourth point, enrollment of our HE area. Yes, number of enrollment now is beyond 30%. And what I would like to show you, the main change in Polish higher education policy was that the increase participation rate of age group 20-29 in last 20 years, and now Poland came up to the middle of OECD factors. OECD average of enrollment of the population age 20-29 is now 25%, and Polish rate of enrollment in this average rose more than doubled. Rose from 16% in 1995 to more than 30% in 2008. Oh, it is a problem because I have some charts now from OECD research, and we will see exactly in this chart that the countries from East European country, also from Czech Republic, in our country, Hungary, Poland, and Czech Republic, this three central European countries. Another situation is in Slovak Republic, in Slovakia, because a lot of Slovak chose a place of studies in Czech Republic. So this is old connections, and I know that despite of new universities, for example, in Ružomberok in Slovakia, the people mainly chose universities in Czech Republic. But general, between 1995 and 2008, rate of enrollment was doubled. So this is very important factor. This is a chart which show this process in details. So I skip it because it's, now these numbers are too small. So I can't explain when you don't see it. So. Okay, next problem is that the sharing of field of studies. So in the last decade, Polish students chose mainly a field of studies related to the social science and education studies. Much less students choose science, mathematics, physics, chemistry, and life science. In health science, we have a last position. Poland have less position in all OECD countries. Which published their data. Yes, I have a scan only because I have this report only in printable version. But in the research which OECD made, we can see that education studies was chosen by 12% of all enrollment in higher education in Poland, and it is the 16th position of all 27 OECD countries. Humanities and arts chose 6%, it is a 24th position of 27 countries which published their data. The social sciences, business and law, social science in this research is divided from educational studies. So this is important because sometimes educational studies are taken with social science. So social science, business and law chose 41% of all enrollment in higher education in Poland. So It is fourth position of our OECD countries. This research was making during 2001. So it's not so fresh, but it was very good. It was very good research, quantitative research. Last problem is internationalization of Polish education policy. Although Polish tertiary education has been opening, it has not reached European level of internationalization of study and research. So in the pressure of European changes, some of Polish universities has been setting up new studies in English. The most successful outcomes has achieved medical schools, medical academies, which offer a lot of program in English. For example, in Poznan Medical School, we have two courses in English, and these courses are cheaper than courses in Scandinavia. So we have a lot of students from Sweden, from Norway, who want to study medicine in Poznań. According to report of tertiary education in Poland, prepared by OECD, between 2003 and 2007, foreign students constitute only 0.4% of all enrollments students in Poland. So it's not good news because I show you that we have around 2 million students. So only 0.4% international students. Now, you know, it's increased year by year. So I think that now it's about 1%, but I have no research. It's only some thesis, some intuition. But it's not changing. 1% is not also a good factor. And only 1.3% of students with Polish nationality pick up a study abroad. So it's also not so good factor. Yes. General, according to the same report, Education at Glance, this is the most prestigious report of higher education in Europe. In 2008, over 3.3 million of students from OECD countries were enrolled in another country than their origin. The main group of international students is in France, Australia, Germany, United States and United Kingdom. These countries have received more than 50% of all foreign students worldwide. The foreign students who have made up 10% of the enrollments are in Australia, Austria, New Zealand, Switzerland and UK. This is also very interesting data that in these countries more than 20% of enrollments participated in advanced research programs. So now in Switzerland, Switzerland is the highest factor, by far the highest factor of participation foreign students in advanced research programs. Foreign students, it means of course PhD students, not BA or MA students. But it's good. Problem. I try to explain it because this is important. This chart shows citizens studying abroad in tertiary education by country of destination. So, if we take a Poland, now you have to trust me. If we take a Poland, 35% of Polish citizens chose Germany to study. But the general number is 1.4% of all enrollment in Polish education students who choose studying abroad. The second place is France, 8.4% of students enrolled in tertiary education abroad studying in France from Poland. And the third position is Italy. Third position definitely is Italy. It is circa 4%. I would like to very shortly describe you a very interesting idea. This is across border universities. This is important tool for increasing internationalization. And this idea is established in old European Union countries. I get you some examples. It is Basel, Mulhouse, Freiburg and Breisgau higher education area. It is also a Danish-German university in Flensburg and Sonderburg. And we have also the institution like that in Poland. This is Wiedrzina University and Collegium Polonicum in the Polish side. Wiedrzina University is located on Frankfurt Oder. In River Odra, and in the one side of the river is Poland, in another side of the river is Germany. So the next city from Germany is Słubice, and in Słubice is Collegium Polonicum, in Frankfurt Oder is located Virginia University. And this is an institution which provides international programs.
But they work in tandem. With the Polish?
Yes.
They have joint program.
They have joint program, of course, and the subjects are provided in German and English. This is interesting that the most of students are now from out of European Union. A lot of students from Turkey, a lot of students from Albania, from Montenegro. So this is important information because it's not, these universities are not so attractive for German. Now also from after Poland made access to European Union, it is also not so attractive for Polish people who want to study in Erasmus Socrates mechanism in another country, Hofia. So now these universities have some crisis, but it is also a chance for creating multicultural universities, because the people who studying in at Gadrina and Collegium Polonicum, they represent really different cultures, Muslim cultures. It's also very, 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 very high percent. Okay, the faculty who work at Gadrina work also at Humboldt University in Berlin, Poznan University, Wrocław University, and the main disciplines are law, multicultural management, cultural studies, and philology. What is the policy of these institutions? The policy is that the foreign students is mean development of Polish and German regions. So the policy is that the Land Brandenburg and one side, and in another side two regions, Wielkopolska region with capital of Poznań and Lubuskie region with capital Zielona Góra, want to make some attractive policy of these regions, and they find this transborder university as a very good opportunities to make this policy. The space of transborder development, I find very interesting studies about transborder development. Professor Heidi Fichter-Wolf from Leibniz Institute in Erkner near Berlin made this research, and she defined transport areas not only as a physical meaning, but also as a political meaning. I quote, space on the one hand exists physically, the nature, the ground, the buildings, but it is also socially constructed. So the problem is that how these transborder universities change spatial, provide spatial cultural changes. So what kind of new values, not kind of common practice, not what kind of new intercultural relation, intercultural communication values is achieved by these institutions. Now Heidi Fichter-Wolf is finishing with her research, and I think it was a sociological quantitative and qualitative research, and she interviewed students, faculty, also regional stakeholders, and we will see what kind of the role play international transborder university. I would like to go to summary. The main problem of reforms of Polish higher education policy is that the lack of rise and expenditure of this area and research and development. This is the first. Second is that a neoliberal temptation of Polish policymakers. Third is that a very dynamic higher education area, which very active students, we have very active students and active faculties. Next is developing the international relations and increasing an attraction of Polish universities. So now Polish universities working for get of the grants the projects like joint studies. So the joint studies is, or network studies is a very popular now in Europe because it is a very good opportunity for our students to know people and to get new experiences. And also very important point is a public mission of Polish universities. These public missions rise rapidly now, but yes, the truth is that the state policy remain this mission still acknowledged. So I think that now the policymakers open their eyes to this public mission, and this public mission is very important. Thank you for your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Cez, for a comprehensive view of higher education in a very important region of the world, Central Europe, which has a great historical tradition, by the way, as far as university education is concerned. Let us not forget, history did not start the last 10 years or 20 years, but it goes back a long time. And these were the centers of learning, very important centers of learning. If you look at Prague, for example, the Charles University, which is the oldest university in Central Europe, the Jagiellonski in Krakow is the second oldest, I think, in Central Europe, the Humboldt University in Berlin, and many others, of course. I was in Budapest not so long ago, and you cannot stop thinking about the great intellectuals which emerge from these places. Budapest, Mannheim, Polanyi, etc. And, of course, Poland has regaled us with some really in the area in which I operate, sociology and philosophy, maybe, connected with social theory, people like Kolakowski and of course, Bauman today. So it's interesting, but it's also tragic to see how these places like, well, all over Europe, you would say, with their own traditions, are now almost, there seems to be an attempt at homogenizing these traditions with the what you call the Bolognization, which, by the way, you would be interested to know is being the people in North Africa call it the Bologna Gospel, and there are missionaries going even to North Africa to convert Morocco towards Bolognization. Now, you would wonder why they would want to do that. Well, internationalization. Internationalization, the way I understand it, as is being promoted by the European Union, we're talking about a country here which joined the European Union in 2004 with Malta, in fact. And internationalization is not having Erasmus students around or having mobility between people within European Union universities. That is Europeanization. Internationalization is a much more ambitious project, and probably I would call it an imperialist project, if you allow me, because it is intended to make Europe competitive with regard to the places that Cez has mentioned, like Australia, the Asian universities, which rank very high, many of them rank very high in these famous league tables. We come out of Shanghai, from London, the Times Higher Education Supplements, and from Spain, and also particularly the United States. The United States has always had the lion's share of foreign students. And also the spending per GDP is 2.something%, which is much higher than Europe, that is. Now, what's being attempted here is actually to attract, this is what they mean by internationalization, to attract students from outside the EU and the NAFTA and the other countries, the Norway, what do you call them? EFTA countries, right? The EFTA countries, is that the right term? It's actually competing for the African, for certain Eastern European countries which are not in the European Union, and of course from outside the EU, basically. Why? Well, if I can be allowed to say this, because that's where the cash cow is. That is where, you know, like universities can make money, because they will charge non-European fees. So this is something which I struck me when you were saying many of the universities in Poland, especially are becoming multicultural universities. You might get a lot of African students coming and from other places. These are the sort of people that Europe wants, in order to render its universities more competitive internationally, and it brings money with them. So, on the other hand, you have universities, new universities emerging in places like Cyprus, for instance, which I'm not talking about the University of Cyprus, which is very selective. It takes the first crop, as you like, of students. But the other universities are about six now, and that was very recent. They were colleges before, got their accreditation, became universities. They actually rely on foreign students, many of whom are Eastern European. So even Eastern European students traditionally used to form part of the internationalization of other universities. So it's a very interesting situation. Of course, Poland being in the EU, and with the amount of universities it has, is obviously going to be very, very much involved in this kind of policy that Europe is promoting. On the other hand, what I found striking is that there's a tendency, especially in Poznan, from what you were saying, that what we consider to be faculties are basically universities in their own right. So instead of having a faculty of medicine and a faculty of business, you would have a business university or a medical university, which I found quite interesting, but also expensive. Because it means duplication and triplication of overheads and administration. Whereas the tendency in many countries in Western Europe, if you take Italy, they are now going to force universities to merge faculties, irrespective of rivalries. Can you imagine faculties of lettere, arts, are being forced to merge now with Europe, with educational studies? I'd like to see that happen here. I wonder what will happen. But anyway, so, you know, this is just, so you want to comment on that?
I think you touch very political problem. The problem of this divided school in Poland. I don't know what it's about in Czech Republic, but I think that it is it was in the communism time that we have a plenty of divided higher education institutions. So after collapse, it still worked. And, you know, it is a good and bad side. The good side is that these schools, these universities has their own tradition also. Their own tradition, their own history, their own inner rules. This inner rules is very important. But, of course, the bad side is first financial expenditure. For example, we have 7 rectors. Yes, the salary of rector is circa 1,000% of the salary of the professor. The rector in Poland have a very, very good salary. So it's the 500%. So, but this is very thought in euros is zloty, this is 500%, but you know, this is very, very, very huge. It's very, very huge salary of rectors. Also technical supports. For example, our polytechnics and our department of chemistry in university have doubled their technical supports. Okay. So it is a cost. Now we have some scandal in Poznań because one of the university catch institute for foreign languages and resource external firms which provide these lessons better and cheaper. So we cannot say very straightly that this policy, which policy is good or bad in this situation. It depends of the context. It really depends of the context. But the emergency of Jagiellonian University with Krakow Academy of Medical Science, now this is the one institution, it's better for example, internationalization process, because now the Jagiellonian University is highest in international rankings. You know, international rankings are not so variable. The methodology of these rankings, we will discuss very, very, very long about it, but it is some factor. So now the potential of Jagiellonian University is highest than 10 years ago. So it is the emergency get new opportunities, I think, get new opportunities. And but the question is that what kind of costs exactly in human costs, catching positions, yes. This is the problem. This is the problem of I think this is more political than educational problem. It's a question for politicians. What kind of strategy is better in that? But I'd like to ask you: is in Malta this university is fully international university? I suppose yes. So you have international students, yes, here, yeah. Or mainly?
Yeah.
So international researchers.
The Senate has imposed English throughout.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Chess, when you mentioned democracy and democratization, what does this feel like? What does this feel like in a Polish university? I mean, I briefly visited a Polish university the summer of 1972. I spoke with a professor and his assistant there about my African research. It was very obviously the system was very much conditioned by the overarching Soviet presence. But at the same time, I got the feeling that there was a strong Polish aspect to university education. So, how do you see this democratization actually working? Why is it necessary?
Mm-hmm. But you mean democratization for public or for
inner?
In
I thought you said the university.
University. But I mean, yes, I mean, mm-hmm. Now, this is two separate problems. First, this is democratization of university, and we achieve achieve democratization of university. For example, members of Senate are students. Students evaluate teachers. For example, now in new law of higher education, universities can start with programs with institutions who are non-university institutions, with cities, with industries, with but also this is very good for fine arts, for example, because now it was allowed the situation like that. The Academy of Fine Arts employee famous artists in another position than visiting professor. And now they can employ people who achieved a very good level in arts, for example, but they have not, they are not PhD holders, and now they can become a professor, they can become a normal salary, etc., normal studio, etc. So it is also some democratization of the structure of the law of university. This is the increasing number of stakeholders who take a part in creating university life of the university. But I think that most important is this second problem: how universities influence to democratization of public spheres. How the universities create better a public awareness of public spheres, of policy, of democratic values. When Kołakowski lived, he was the most famous philosopher in Poland, but the work of Kołakowski was not a philosophy work. It was mainly a work for making better public sphere. They picked up a subject like what mean, for example, wisdom in politics. What mean our participation in politics, what mean fraternitas, that the people live with in the neighbors together in the good relations and etc. etc. So it is it was real public scholarship work. So I think that the person now the very very important role of universities in Poland is that the professor who are also public authorities who can write article not only in academic journals but also for newspapers, they are very influenced and they do the work like public scholarship. Also very important case is this third age university. We have in general in Polish society, I don't know what is about what is in the Malta, but in Poland plenty of old people lost their social dynamics, they are in house, they do nothing, and third age universities move these people in some new activities. So it is very fresh because our third age universities, I'm not sure now, but it is less than 8 years. It's less than 8 years. So it's very fresh idea, and it is some kinds of work for democratization.
Yeah. Ours is a bit older. Our third age. It's thanks to the work of two people who passed away, actually. Professor Kushkiri and Mr. Anthony Shkembri, that is the whole thing started. Started, I think, when I joined the university, about 1993.
You mentioned, again, on democratization, you mentioned that students were very active. Does this refer to their engagement in university decision-making or a tendency to take, what do we want to call it, militant action? I mean,
yes.
Is there a lot of militancy among their undergraduates?
Mm-hmm. This activists or students mean also both sides. First, this is a research side. The students, you know, in Poland, student research are very trendy for students now in Poland. So the students are very, very active. The students establish some student journals, student scientific journals, etc., etc. But they are also very active in university politics. We have in my department two student unions. And in Poznań we have three students corporation. The corporation is some special because corporations have established in the 30s. After Second War it was not allowed, and now it is some reconstructions of these corporations. And these corporations are very, very active. For example, they gather students after finishing universities, and it is also very important work. For example, they help get work, they help to development skills. So this is these organizations make very very well work for increasing or build some student adaptations in the world. So it is you know, it is important because a lot of students who are from province they have a problem with adaptation in large cities. And for example, our university psychologists who work with students said that main clients of university psychologists are the students from province, which have the problems with adaptation in new environments. And these corporations, these unions also gather students and help them to they switch on some process and this is also very active because they invite professors, they organize some special lectures, students organize lectures for students with some gas, they, it is, I think this, that it's very, very, very active, it is a very active group of university community, so, yes.
Then I have another one. You mentioned private universities. Is there a difference in the salaries between people working for private universities and working for the public universities? And a trend we see in Europe that it's very difficult today to talk about public and private because the lines between them are blurred. Is this a case in Poland?
No. You know, the law allow that salary in private university would be higher than in public. But normally, generally, the salaries in private universities are the same or the lowest than in public. This is, you know, we don't trust in neoliberal reform because these private universities are established by the neoliberal points. So these people who chose the first place in private universities, they mainly they want to return to public university. It's not because they hoped they became better salary, but normally don't. And excuse me, the second question was about
public and private.
Okay. Yes, of course, I agree with you. For example, some grants from ministry, some resources, financial resources from ministry of science and higher education, and the private institutions are also eligible to start to do this competition. So this is, in fact, this is public resources to for private needs. Yes, but the question is that: is this practice transparent? Is this practice transparent? Because the a lot of private school is a school which has political owners who want creating some additional work for them, and so or some additional resources of financing of their needs. So. It is. I think it is some ethical problems of that. But we now I agree with you that we cannot shortly divide it private public. When I mention private, I mean the institution who was established by. Private person or some foundations. Also we have about 50 private universities which was established by foundations. But behind the foundations is some rich people who don't want to be recognized as a founder of the school. So sometimes these foundations are only a facade of some.
You recognize that, you know, we have a tendency now, and the European Union is pushing this, that competition is being encouraged. Mm-hmm. In fact, some people talk about, I think it was Czerny who spoke about, I don't know what his nationality was, who spoke about the competition state. And higher education, our own, one of our colleagues, Mary Darmanin, actually has written about this, about Malta, is precisely that this idea of public-private, and it's with relations being blurred because often the state comes in to support the private sector, is part and parcel of this competition state that we are going into.
I would like to add that it starts also at the secondary school, not only because you take the students from the secondary school level, secondary school level. So I think that as for the quality, for example, of education, the boundaries are blurring, yes, between private sector and public sector. So.
When you mentioned internationalization and people coming, students coming from Denmark and Sweden, Norway and Sweden. How far do you think this could actually go? How feasible is it? Because it must involve huge expenditure on English, on teaching English to staff, academic staff, professors. Presumably, if they want to internationalize Poznan or any other university, there has to be a pretty big shift among the whole academic staff to fluency in English, if they're going to.
Yes. In this medical school, lots of professors are foreign. So it's not only professors from Poznan Academy of Medical Science, but it is also foreign professors. It is first, and second, you know, in medical schools are very schools are very special. Because they teach us skills. So if they have some medical English, okay, it's yes. So I think that the success is that first they employ some people from some foreign. And second, they provide courses which are more technical than language courses. So yes, this is the answer. Yes. But the another problem is quality of life of foreign students in Poland. So this quality of life is not. Not so good for them. It's the life is cheap, of course, but they find Poland sometimes as a cheat country. So it is another problem of the quality of life of foreign students. So the reason why students choose a university in foreign is also the quality of life in this status where they choose it.
Maybe how do you cater for adult education? How do universities in Poland cater for adult education?
Adult education?
Yes, because we are doing an MA in adult education here.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? How do you define adult education? It's courses, after graduate courses, how do you define it? How do you define it?
Really and truly, anybody who is over 18 is an adult. So what we have been doing throughout the course is not just people who have sort of stopped studying and now are pursuing their education, but anybody who is over 18 is considered as an adult educator. So with even older adults as well. So we've tackled all ages basically.
Mm-hmm.
How is the university responding to this? Mm-hmm. University continuing education.
Mm-hmm. In Poland, but I don't know it. I don't know it is the same. But in Poland, we have. In Polish, after diploma studies, this is plenty of studies in my university, is more than 50 with after diploma studies. I translated in details, but probably is the same. I should looking for some another name of this of the studies. But for example, if you I teach in the studies of ethics. For example, you are a teacher and you teach a biology or Polish literature, and you you want to teach ethics, you can choose at university this post-diploma, 1 year's post-diploma studies, and this is of course a weekend or evening studies, and after that you will get exactly this is a master of post after diploma studies, and you have some qualification. This is studies which focus on more than qualification on some special things than general knowledge. It is very popular. It is very popular. The people who are eligible to start in this studies, you have to obtain Master of Arts or Bachelor of Arts. So you have to finish another studies. This is the first. Second, I think this is something new, but Polish academic publishers are opening now for new targets, people who want developing their qualifications, but don't want read strictly academically books. For example, Jagiellonian University Press of Warsaw University Press have a new series of books which are targeted to people who want making some self-education. Adults are adults and have and want to make some self-education, and it starts. We will see how it works, but I think it is popular. It's popular.
Okay, I think we should conclude here, and thank you for an overview. Thank you, Says, for an overview of the struggles that you are facing in, and the successes you are having also in higher education in Poland. I started off with a bit of history, and I would like to end up with a bit of history, just to make us appreciate, not that you need this, the richness of this region in terms of its university history. We mentioned Jagiellonski, Charles University. Poland had another great university once, but now it's part of the Ukraine. Lwów, right? Lwów. Those of you who watch the film Schindler's List, there's a scene where people, it's intended to show you the high quality of the people who are being treated the way they were treated there. And they were saying, I'm an engineer from Lwów. Now, how many people got that? That was a very prestigious university in the East. One of the graduates of that university is one of Poland's best known educational professors, Bogdan Sukodolski, who is also much cited academic in the field. And Poland is also famous for something else. Today we talk about ICT. Today we talk a lot about qualitative research. Poland has a great tradition in qualitative research. Yeah, great. More than that, it has also, Poland has, we're talking about open distance learning. During the Nazi occupation, Poland had a system, something which the Palestinians do today, and most besieged communities do that, what is known as the flying university. Is how people study from different parts of the city, in the homes, etc., and they've got this how the course outline or the course is written, which is what you used to use in correspondence education, and sent from place to the other. They call it the flying university, just like those planes used to throw in classrooms.
And it was banned. It was banned. And,
it was banned, of course.
And if German, if Germans catch you in flying university, you was bishop. Yes, yes.
So the dangers of knowledge. Of course, you made the separation between politics and education. Well, how can you separate the two? Education is politics.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your attention.
You have just listened to a talk in the Work in Progress seminar series entitled Challenges and Development of Higher Education in Poland.